One. Welcome to another episode of the Bamature Hour. I'm Bamature John. We have Will K, and today we're going to discuss the top 10 most important players for Bama who must shine for Bama to have a great season. We're going to jump into it. First of all, I want to thank you all for subscribing to our YouTube channel. We now have over 2,000 subscribers to our YouTube channel. So thank you for each one of you who is subscribed to the channel and enjoying our content. You can also find us on various streaming platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Music, RSS, and the like. So like, subscribe, and we appreciate you. So, all right, Will K, how are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, you got your list ready to go and ready to pick apart my list?
I do.
All right, well, let's jump into it here. All right, the top 10 most important players for Alabama. And I want to make this caveat that these are not the best 10 players, but these are the players that I think need to step up their game and really need to shine this season for Alabama to have a great season at key positions. So let's jump into it. The first player that I have at number 10 is Geno Vandemark. Geno Vandemark is a portal transfer player that played for Alabama last year. He plays guard. He can also play center. I think he is a key player that just looking at the history of there being players that have injuries, he's got to be able to fill in or start at right guard or left guard or center. Right now, he's not penciled in to start, but I think he is a key player, and I have him at number 10. Okay, Will K, who do you have at number 10?
I have Isaiah Horton at number 10.
Isaiah Horton. Well, I will have him later down my list. We both have them. We have Isaiah Horton both in our top 10. I'll reveal where Isaiah is later in my list. All right, comments on Geno Vandemark and your thoughts on why he is or is not one of the top 10 most important players.
I'm not sure that I could put a backup in the top 10. I know, they rotate and everything, and he can play center, left guard, he can play a lot of different places, and he will ultimately probably be put in because somebody might get hurt. But as far as top 10, I think that there's just more value and more, there's other talent than putting somebody who's a backup in the top 10.
Okay, fair enough. My only comment is he may start instead of Cam Dewberry. We'll see. So I had him listed. Cam is also on my list, but we'll get to that later. All right, so let's go to number 9 on my list. Number 9 is Jam Miller. Jam Miller, the running back last year, he was okay. He started, but he was not what you expect from an Alabama running back. He's slotted at number one right now, and Jam Miller needs to jam this year. He needs to be that 1,000-yard rusher. He needs to score 10, 12, 14 touchdowns. He needs to be that workhorse running back that you expect from an Alabama starting running back. Jam Miller needs to step up, or I think he will get replaced, and one of these other running backs will step into that role. And we really have a problem if none of them can have that breakout year that you expect from an Alabama running back. But I have Jam Miller at number 9. Will, who do you have at number 9 on your list?
I have Tim Keenan.
Tim Keenan. Okay, again, I will have him in my list. But he's at another spot. Okay, your comments and thoughts about Jam Miller. Is he even in your top 10?
He is in my top 10.
Okay.
So that'll be later.
Revealed.
Yes.
All right, well, what are your thoughts about my comments about why he is important to this team and why he's going to have to step up?
Well, last year, most of our running came from the quarterback position. Design runs with Jalen Milroe. That will change this year. We'll need to go back to more of a traditional run game. It'll be, and it won't just be him. There will be other people carrying the ball, but he will be the main running back out there at least. So I expect him to have 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns. We're going to get back to more of a maybe ground and pound with behind the best O line in the country. So I think that he will be much improved, and not to his fault last year. I mean, he made good plays when he ran the ball. It's just that, switching from Milroe to Ty Simpson, he will get the ball a lot more. So.
Well, and we hope he's improved in his strength, in his quickness, that he's more explosive. Maybe yards after contact will be better this year. He was okay. I think he was an average SEC running back. We need him to be a great SEC running back this year. So Jam Miller at number nine for me, and you had Isaiah Horton at number nine, correct?
Tim Keenan at
I'm
nine,
sorry,
right?
Tim Keenan at number nine. Yes, you had
Yeah.
Tim Keenan at number nine. So, all
Horton
right.
was 10.
Orton was 10, Tim Keenan is 9. We're going to go in depth on them more later. At number 8 for me was James Smith, the defensive tackle. Who do you have at number 8 on your list?
Jam Miller.
Jam Miller. Okay. Do you want to add any comments about Jam Miller before we jump into James Smith?
No, I've said everything, I think, on Jam Miller.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it from here, Will. James Smith. We have got to have a stout interior defensive line. We've got to be able to stuff the run. We've got to be able to collapse the pocket, those defensive tackles. And I think that's why you put Tim Keenan in there at nine, correct? Is you think we've got to have that big interior defensive line push. And I think our defensive line was a weakness last year. In the games that we lost, I thought that we were dominated on the defensive line. And I think James Smith, along with Tim Keenan, who we'll talk about more later, they're going to have to really step up and be able to collapse the pocket on passing downs, on running downs, hold the line, hopefully be able to get a good push rather than being pushed back. I think James Smith is going to be a huge player that if we're going to do what we want to do, which is make the playoffs, contend for a natty, and maybe win the natty, he's going to have a big year. Your thoughts on James Smith, and do you want to address just the defensive line and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in games like the Vanderbilt game, really struggled. And then for most of the season, kind of struggled getting to the quarterback a lot. So I think, and I have some other defensive linemen on my top 10, but we'll get to that later. But I don't have James Smith in my top 10. But yeah, I think that this is a seasoned defensive line. And it should improve, and it needs to.
And so you at least see my reasoning for why I put him there, and the reasoning you're okay with that, even if you don't think James is in the top 10.
Yeah.
I think both of those guys, Keenan and Smith, are going to have to be studs if we want to win a national championship. So that's my thinking.
Yeah.
All right, number 7 is Daniel Hill. Who do you have at number 7? And then we'll talk about yours, and we'll talk about Daniel Hill.
Cam Dewberry.
Cam Dewberry, I have him on my list, but he's closer to the top of the list. But I have Cam in there. So you and I agree with Cam is a key player to step up. So let's jump into Daniel Hill real quick. I think he is going to be that short yardage back. I think he's the big, strong bowling ball back that when it's second and three, second and four, third and three, third and two, fourth and one, he's the guy that we need to come in there behind our offensive line and to be able to punch it in the end zone. And I think we lacked for that bowling ball, tough back to bring down. And I think Daniel Hill has got to be the answer for that. So that's why I have him in there, is we need that short yardage back that can take the yards after contact, get hit, and still get an extra yard or two. And I thought we were bad at short yardage running plays last year. That's why I have Daniel Hill at 7. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really don't know how the carries will be split amongst running backs. I can only assume that Jam Miller will get the majority of them. I haven't really seen a lot of Daniel Hill. Once again, I don't think I can put a backup in the top 10 just yet. I mean, he might not even be a backup. He might be 1B, But yeah, he could add a different element to the run game if he's given the opportunity.
I think he's likely to be the ground and pound running back that when we need that tough 1, 2, 3 yards, I think he's going to be the best option on there. And I don't know that we have another running back on our roster that can do what he can do. I think he's going to be the guy, but we'll see. And everything I heard about spring practice is they were really impressed with him and that he's a great short yardage back, going to be tough to bring down. And then maybe a good play action option if they're stacking the line on him that you do the play action plays. So, all right, well, let's talk about Cam Dewberry later in the list, but you clearly thought he was a key player, and I agree with that. So let's go to number six. Number six, I have Cam Dewberry. Who do you
Yeah.
have at number six?
Keon Sab.
Keon Sabb. Okay. Let's deal with Keon Sabb first.
Okay.
I didn't put Keon Sabb in my list because I thought he was a proven player. I thought he proved himself last year, and I thought he's the player that if we get out of him this year what we got out of him last year, we're in good shape. So I viewed these as the guys that have to step it up a level from what they did last year. And so I felt like if we get what we got out of Keon Sabb last year, minus injuries, we're in great shape. So I didn't have any questions. He might be one of our 10 best players, but I didn't feel like he was one of those guys that needed to step up his play from last year for us to get where we needed to go. So that's why I don't have him on my list. Thoughts about that?
Well, I put him in here because he's coming back from injury. Top 10 most important players, he's going to have to come back into the lineup and, still be able to be that guy after injury. Good thing he'll have a complement in Bray Hubbard. And that defensive backfield might be the best in the country, actually. So I just think that he needs to keep up what he did last year when he wasn't injured, coming back from injury. That's why I put him in there.
Okay, so I can understand that just the question mark about is he fully healthy, but I do think our secondary safeties, cornerbacks, we're loaded, and I think there's good people behind him that even if he's injured, and I'm worried like the defensive line, the reason I have Bo Smith and Tim Keenan in here is I'm worried about the depth of that defensive line. I'm not worried about the depth of the secondary. So I think Sab's great. I understand your question mark there. All right, let's jump into Cam Dewberry. So we both agree that he's got to be the guy. He's got to step it up. Your thoughts on Cam Dewberry and why you have him on this list?
Yeah, he's taken over for Tyler Booker, who was a first round draft pick. And he's a transfer. He's gonna be in a new system. So, I think that left guard and right tackle too, but the other three offensive linemen are really, really good. So if they can come together as like one cohesive unit. I'm a little biased. I keep saying this, but it could be the best O-line in the country. It really
Yep.
could with Caden Proctor, Parker Brailsford, Jaden Roberts. So I think that that needs to come together to be a really good O-line because, the other four guys can do their job, but if he, I mean, even lets up like one sack a game, I mean, that's a lot. That whoever he's guarding is going to be a first round draft pick. If you just get one sack a game, that defensive end or defensive tackle is going to be a first round draft pick.
And Dewberry, and that's why I have Geno Vandemore and Dewberry in there, is I know they're both battling for that starting left guard position, and Dewberry's got a leg up right now, but Vandemore played last year. One of those two guys needs to take control of that position and be that high-level left guard that we need them to be right there next to Caden Proctor. So we need him to step up. You and I are in agreement that he's a key player. He needs to step up. And a concern for me is he left Texas A&M to come to Alabama, and there's a reason why he did. And it's because he couldn't crack that starting lineup there. And that must mean that Texas A&M is loaded on the line, or we gave him more NIL money to plug the holes here. Whatever it is, he came over here and he needs to step up and do that and be the player that we need him to be. So I think he's really, really important and he's got to step up. So
Yeah.
any further thoughts?
Nope.
Okay. Number five, Tim Keenan. This is who do you have at number five, by the way, Will?
Got the linebacker from Colorado, N'Keal Green.
Okay. Let's deal with that first. I feel like we are loaded at linebacker. And because of that, and because we have a lot of proven linebackers there, and I think he's a proven player as well, I just didn't feel that. To me, linebacker was a question mark, whereas that interior defensive line, that's why I have Smith and Keaton on this list, is those two guys are going to be keys. If we're going to win a national championship, we need those guys holding up the D line, collapsing the pocket, stuffing the run. That's why I have Keenan there. Whereas the linebackers, I'm just not concerned. I think we've got depth, we've got talent, we've got great players all over the field on the defense. That's why I had Keenan in this list, but didn't have any of the linebackers in this list, even though there's a lot of great players. So, all right, make your comments about N'Keal, and then make your comments about Keenan.
Well, I think that Deontay Lawson is really, really good. He's coming off injury. He might not even start against Florida State. I think that he's going to need a good complement to him. I also have Justin Jefferson, but it can't just be Deontay Lawson. You need another guy to kind of give him some support, and that's my argument.
Okay. All right. What about Tim Keenan? Do you agree with me about we got to get that interior line just stuff the run and those guys got to step up?
Yeah, I had Tim Keenan at my nine, just a little lower,
Right.
but yeah.
Right. Well,
Yeah,
I
I
just
agree.
think that interior line push is going to be key, and that's why I have both of those guys on this list. They're the two designated starters, and I don't know how much depth we have there either. So those guys are really, really important in my opinion. All right. Number four, LT Overton. Who do you have at number four?
That is also who I have.
Okay, so we're in agreement. Why do you have LT Overton on this list?
I think he's probably our best pass rusher. Like I said earlier, we had problems getting to the quarterback last year. He actually played against him in high school,
Yes, you did. You and your younger brother both played against him.
yeah, that was not fun.
No.
But yeah, I just think that even if he doesn't get a sack, putting pressure on the quarterback, because we're going to play a ton of good quarterbacks this year.
And a
Like we
bunch of
did.
dual threat quarterbacks. Not just good quarterbacks, but dual threat quarterbacks.
He's going to have to contain Diego Pavia. I mean, I can't believe I'm
How
saying that.
about
Vanderbilt. John Mateer.
Lenora Sellers?
Yeah, Lenore Sellers.
Jackson Arnold.
Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, he's not dual threat, but he gets it out quickly.
We gave Nussmeier an earful in that game.
Yep.
Couple of things about LT. Phenomenal athlete, really strong. I think he plays a little too out of control. I think his technique needs to be refined, and I think he had lots of quarterback hurries. He had very few sacks because I think his technique needs to be slightly improved. I think he lost containment too many times. I think he had his hips and his shoulders focused to the middle of the field. If you're an edge rusher, you cannot lose containment. You have to set the edge, and when that guy gets outside of you, you've got to have your hips and your shoulders properly aligned so you can take that quarterback down. And I thought there were a lot of instances where LT got a lot of pressure on the quarterback or on the running backs as well in running schemes and lost containment because his technique was not great because he relied on his athleticism. And I'm sorry, when you're up against these dual threat college level athletic quarterbacks, your technique has to be spot on or those hurries turn into busted plays and what could have been a quarterback sack or you're forcing the guy inside into the interior of the defense turns into a 10-yard run by the quarterback. And that's what LT has to improve on. The athleticism's there, but his technique has got to improve. His discipline, his eye discipline, his Technique has got to be better, and he's got to be that sack guy that can get a sack a game, not get these hurries, but lose containment. And then the run game as well. He's got to set the edge and force it inside. That's what he needs to do. And if he can do those things, he'll be a first round draft pick, might be a top 10 draft pick. He's got the potential, but he's got to do his job and not be out of control. Those are my comments on LT. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he former number one recruit before he reclassified. So obviously a bunch of talent there. He yeah, I agree. He's a little out of control sometimes. Sometimes that helps you. You just land in the right spot, but you have to stay true to your job and what you have to do, and not try and go out and make a play that doesn't work out, you know. So I
And if
think
he's gonna have an interior rush, if he's doing a move and he's trying to go on the inside of a tackle instead of setting the edge, then there has got to be a guy behind him that he knows is gonna set that edge and cover for him when he's trying to make that athletic play, and he can't just freelance or you get busted plays. And there's a lot of examples of that last year where he almost had the running back, or he almost had the quarterback for a loss, and then it busted for a big play. That happened against Vanderbilt, happened against Oklahoma, happened against Tennessee, happened in the Michigan game. He's got to be better. He's a key player. A lot of people think he's probably the best NFL caliber player on the team, but if we're going to win a natty, if we're getting the playoffs, he's got to be the man. So, okay, enough on LT. And you had it number four again?
LT.
LT. We were in alignment on that. So I just want to make sure. Okay, here we go. Number three. I have number three, Wilkin Formby, right tackle. Who do you have at number three?
That is also who I have.
Okay, we're in alignment here as well. Okay, jump into Wilkin and talk about Wilkin.
Yeah, he struggled at times last year in the South Florida game. I think we had like two touchdowns called back. I mean, you know, at the end we put in somebody else and I think we scored like 28 points in like 7 minutes or something ridiculous. I mean, it was kind of scary. And then, you know, we almost covered that game somehow, but the holding penalties and, you know, we just, like I said, we need a cohesive unit, offensive line. And he just needs to prove his worth. Yeah, 4-star out of high school. Good friends with Luke. I knew him growing up. Another guy I knew growing up, kinda. So he needs to show. I mean, he's huge. He's like
6'8",
6'8". I don't even know how much he weighs. Probably 3.
350, 360, he's
Yeah, I mean,
huge.
he's huge. So I just think that he needs to really get in tune with his technique. Not so many holding calls, because I mean that's just a backbreaker. Jalen Milroe is, you know, running for 50 yards and on the third down, and then all of a sudden it goes from first and 10 to third and 15, and now your team's like, oh, from a holding call that could have been avoided. So I think he needs to work on the penalties.
Yeah, I think for me, Wilkin, this is the year he's got to make that big step. Last year was a learning year for him. He struggled. He couldn't hold down the starting job, too many penalties, and he was also getting beat on the edge. Wilkin is a big, strong man, but his quickness, his lateral quickness, he's not the quickest guy out there, and he was getting beat on the edge by these speed rushers. I hope that he's been working on his lateral quickness, that just quick, side, side, and his technique, getting his strength. So he's got to be better. And they also need to scheme it, whether it's having somebody chip when he's got a fast edge rusher, whatever it is, he's got to hold up better in pass protection. And then he's got to be just a beast in the run game of just blowing people off the line. And one of the ways when you have an edge rusher lined up on you is you bully him. You run behind Wilkin. You let Wilkin just batter. You just run behind him, maybe put a tight end and just make that guy just beat him up like they would do to Micah Parsons in the NFL. Is Dallas had a poor rushing defense cut because the teams would just line up and they would just bully Micah. Wilkin's going to have to be better in his pass protection, quick steps, not get the holding calls, not get beat. They're going to have to help him, and then he's got to be a bully, just a pile driver in the run game, and he needs to step up if we're going to do it, or somebody else is going to have to take that spot. So those are my
Yep.
thoughts on Wilkin. He is a big, strong man. Let's hope the lateral quickness is better, the technique's better, and that he can hold up this year and make that jump. But a lot of players make a big jump from one year to the next, and he's had all off season. The reports have been great on him. So I'm optimistic. Let's hope Wilkin can indeed make those steps. All
Yep.
right, number two. I have Isaiah Horton. You had Isaiah Horton at 10, I think, or 9. He was in your
10.
list. Okay,
Yeah.
let's talk about Isaiah Horton, why you have him on your list, and why you have him at 10, and why have him at 2. So fire away on Isaiah Horton.
Yeah. Once again, the bias. If this wide receiver core can be all it can be, it could be the best in the country. Ryan Williams, Jeremy Bernard, Isaiah Horton, Jalen Hale, Cole Adams, Lazier Brooks. I mean, just a lot of
Loaded,
guys.
loaded room.
Yeah, loaded. I mean, even Josh Quavis is a tight end. I liked him last year. He was really good. He made some good plays.
Yeah.
I have a better wide receiver at number two, but I think that Isaiah Horton, he'll probably be like wide receiver three.
Okay.
He'll be like
And
a big red zone guy. He's tall. Just throw it up to him. So I think
so, and
that
who did you have it to?
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams. Okay. So let's talk about Ryan Williams first. I didn't put Ryan Williams on this list because he's proven to me. If we just get out of him last year, this year, with a quarterback that can throw the ball to him and get it to him, because I thought Ryan Williams' biggest problem last year is that Milroe, they would line up with one guy over him and they wouldn't throw to him. And to me, I blame that on Milroe and I blame that on the offense, not on Ryan Williams. To me, Ryan Williams is a proven commodity. So I didn't put him on this list for that reason. So you think he's got some steps to take himself, Ryan Williams? Did you put
Well,
him on
no, I
here
mean
because you think
this
he needs
list
to
is
step
the
it up?
top 10 most important. He needs to, I mean, yeah, he was really good last year and he made a lot of good catches and a lot of good plays. He didn't get the ball that much. But at the same time, he didn't even have 1,000 yards last year.
And I blame that
And
on
he made some
Milroe.
really good plays. He made a few drops, and yes, he's the second best wide receiver in college football behind Jeremiah Smith.
No doubt. And so I guess I didn't put him on here because I know what we're going to get from him, and he's great.
I just think that he's the second most important player on the team. He needs to make really good plays and he needs to be reliable. And I know that he has been, but he's still the second most important player to me on this team.
Okay. And I put Isaiah Horton there because to me, he's the guy when it's third and three, third and five, or we're in the red zone.
He needs to be clutch.
Isaiah Horton is the guy that we're going to throw the 50-50 ball to. He's the
Yeah.
guy in short yardage when it's third and three, third and five, where we could not convert those short passing downs. He's the guy that if you get it in his catch radius and keep it away from whoever's covering him, maybe even if you got a guy on him, he's the guy that's going to have to go up and be that big receiver to keep the chains moving or to put the ball in the end zone where we struggled with that last year. That's why I have Isaiah Horton here. I think he fills that role. I don't know who we had last year that we could have do what Isaiah Horton I think can do. So that's why I put him there. Is I think he's the key guy that because to me Ryan Williams is he's the explosive play. He's the big play. He's the guy with his speed and athleticism. But Isaiah Horton's the guy to go up in traffic and get the ball or to beat that tall cornerback and take the ball away. So that's why I had him there. So difference of opinion, but I think we both think both of those guys are really, really important to the team.
Absolutely.
All right, I bet we have the same number one guy.
I agree.
Ty Simpson, shoot away, Will.
He's got a lot around him. He's got a lot of good stuff around him. Besides the quarterback, only because he's unproven, he could be really good, but we just haven't seen enough of him. But besides the quarterback, collectively, this could be the most talented and best roster we've had since
2020?
no, probably the 2022 team
Okay.
with Bryce Young and Will Anderson. That team was pretty loaded, maybe better, probably, but he's got a lot of help around him. He has waited his turn. which is not an attractive option in nowadays college football. Everybody's transferring, but Ty Simpson, he's stuck with it. He was behind Bryce Young, behind Milroe, coached up by Saban. He's been here for a while. I think he has the right mindset. I think he can run DeBoer's offense. Former five-star recruit. I'm very optimistic about him. It's just a matter of fact of him getting on the field and seeing it now. I've seen some throws he's made in camp, some pretty good throws. He doesn't have to be a Bryce Young or a Tua, is what I'm saying with this team. He needs to be like a 225, two touchdown, zero interception kind of guy.
I
So
think he is the straw that stirs the drink. If we don't get, and I'm not going to call him a game manager, he's got to be better than a game manager. He's got to be a distributor. So I would say he needs to be sort of like a Mac Jones, sort of like a Bryce Young. He doesn't have to be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but he's got to be able to put the ball in the right place. He's got to be able to make the short intermediate throws. Not make the stupid interceptions, not run across the line of scrimmage and then throw the ball, not take dumb sacks and safeties. He's got to keep the chains moving, get us in and out of the right play. He's the guy. We're not winning a national championship without Ty Simpson being not great, but he's got to be really, really good
I was
at.
thinking like a like an AJ McCarron type, or I think
Yeah, oh
Mac. Yeah,
yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. He's
I
more
think
athletic
Mac
than
Jones.
AJ.
I think Mac Jones was a good comp, but
Yep.
Mac Jones put up 400 yards, three touchdowns every game. He doesn't
Well,
have to
but
be like
look
that.
who Mac Jones had around him.
That's
He
what
had
I'm
a
saying.
loaded receiver room. Now we got a loaded receiver room too, but Mac
Right.
Jones knew how to get us, and he did have Sark. Remember, Sark was the OC. But boy,
Yeah.
they knew how to dial up the plays, and then Mac distributed the ball, and he got the ball to the right person. We could run the ball. Ty Simpson, if he can be Mac Jones, or he can be AJ McCarron, or heck, if he can be a healthy Jake Coker, we can win the Natty, but he's got to play well. Or he's got to get out of the way, and the next guy's got to take over quickly because we can't lose more than two games in this season. Somebody's got to take over and be better than Milroe was last year. We've got to have more
Yeah,
consistent play, less turnovers. We got to be able to move the chains. Can you make the right throw, the right read on third and three? Can you go second and four and not end up in second and 11 because you took a bad sack? Can you throw the ball away? Can you figure out who the open receiver is, where to go with the ball? If he can do that, we can win the Natty. I think he is the most important, and I think we're in agreement with that. Okay, parting shots, last thoughts.
Yeah, he just needs to not make terrible, terrible plays like Jalen Milroe did. I mean, Milroe was so volatile. I need him to be within the standard deviation of a quarterback. You know, I don't want some amazing play, but then you make the stupidest sack and fumble, and then the other team wins the game because of you. You know, just be like a 225 and two touchdown, zero interception kind of game, and you win the game 31-14 or something.
And sometimes three and out and throwing the ball away and punting is the right answer.
So, but I'm optimistic about him. He's got Ryan Grubb as an OC too. He's got all the pieces around him. He might not have Nick Saban anymore, but he's still got a good supporting cast. So I'll say that.
Well, and DeBoer and Ryan Grubb have a great history with quarterbacks, so and I think Ty Simpson more fits the mold of what they're used to having as a quarterback. And Simpson is mobile. He's not slow. He's not 4.3 fast, but I think he's 4.6 fast, and he can scramble. And I think he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet, but he's run for, I think, multiple. I know he has at least one running touchdown. And I think he can do the job. So he has got to be it. And we've got to get more consistent high-level play out of our quarterback than we did last year. I think that's the way to say it, is that the bad Milroe killed us. And we had four losses. Three of them were squarely on Milroe, and Milroe made enough boneheaded plays against Vanderbilt that he wasn't able to overcome a terrible defensive performance by Alabama in that game. And then the other three games were all on Milroe. Ty Simpson can't have those bad plays, and he needs to make really good plays and good decisions. He's got to be able to hit the open receivers, particularly on the short and intermediate. And move the ball around and run play action and be able to call, audible when we need to get out of one play and get into the other play and read the defense and do that. And
Well, what makes me feel good is that Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, they know quarterbacks, Michael Penix. So if that's their guy, then they must have faith in him. But I will say that if Ty Simpson struggles against, say, Georgia, like really bad, like two or three interceptions, and we lose. I mean, they need to get on that quick. We can't be, having a quarterback battle the whole year. But if he struggles against Georgia, or not even struggles, like if we lose to Georgia and it's a close game, but he throws like three touchdowns or something, that's different. But if he struggles early, they need to figure it out.
Well, I will say, let's say we lose to Georgia in a close game. Let's say it's 21-17 or 28-24, something like that. And Simpson doesn't have a great game. I think it's dependent on why did the offense not do enough to win? What,
Yeah.
was Simpson put in bad positions? Did Wilkin Formby get smoked? And was Simpson's problem due to line protection and poor play calling versus Simpson playing poorly? Or did Simpson throw two interceptions and get sacked for a safety and those type of things? He just cannot have those bad negative plays that Milroe had. We can't have that. So we got to
No.
have a quarterback that's floor is much higher than Milroe, but we've still got to be able to have really high level quarterback play. So, okay, is that it? Are we wrapping this one up, young
Yeah,
Will?
I think that's it.
All right, well, let me. There is the list. These are the 10 most important players for Bama based on my list. I don't have Will's list to flash on the screen, so sorry about that. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Bamature Hour. We appreciate all of you listening. Please subscribe, listen, and we appreciate it. And God bless you all, and roll tide.
Roll Tide.